Amen. Let's open our Bibles, if you would please, tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 107. Psalms 107, if you would please. Psalms 107, give you a minute to find that. I'll give you a clue. It is in the Old Testament. And I believe it's the largest book in the Bible, so you should be able to find it. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I tell you, I appreciate what the Lord has done. And if anything of any value has been done, He has done it. I promise you that. Amen. God has no problem doing His work. God specializes in doing what He can do. Amen. And God has never done anything that was little. God has never done anything that was little. Because if God did it, all of God did it. And if it required God to do it, it wasn't little. It had to be big. Amen. But God is able to do His work. We're not seeing much happen in our day, but it's not because God can't. It's not because God is losing His grip. It's not because He's losing power and losing His position and getting old and feeble and being threatened to be dethroned. Oh, He's still God. His problem is not ability. He possesses all ability. He is the Almighty God. The problem is, He has a problem with a channel to work through, a conduit to work through. God has worked through His people. God is looking for somebody that'll be a channel. Amen. Look around and say, well, I wish God would be doing more. Provide Him transportation. I wish God would do more at our church. It doesn't take but one match to start a big fire. Anybody can complain. Anybody can whine. Anybody can talk about the negatives. And I wish, and I wish, and I wish. Praying is not wishing. Wishing's what you do to Santa Claus. Praying's what you do to God. Hello. Amen. I felt a little something right there. Wasn't no glory on it, but I felt a little something on it. Amen. That's right. Some of you, that is your image of God. You got a little Santa Claus image of God. That's what you got. Yeah, just pull Him out every once in a while and give Him a little I want list. When He has no control of your life any other time. Has no say-so in your life. He's not boss. He's not your master. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Some of you are sweating already, and it's not even hot. Amen. But God can do His work. God can still do His work. I wonder, preacher, did you say there were 9 to 12 churches in this camp meeting? 9 to 12, 10, something like that. And it's hard for me to believe that 9 churches couldn't absolutely pack this hillside out. We ought to give out a prayer request tonight that everybody laid out and stayed home watching television. I hope their TV blows up. Amen. You can't have camp meeting with people that is unfaithful. And if they're unfaithful, hello, if they're unfaithful to camp meeting, they're probably in their heart unfaithful to their own local church. Well, I better get off of that. Help us, Lord. It's too early in the service to hear the bulldog scratching at the gate. Psalms 107, verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Oh, we could stop right there and take recess and shout a while. Testify a while. Run a while. Praise God a while. Why? The Lord is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Thank God that there'll never be a run out, an end of His mercy. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is what withholds from you what you deserve. I just read in verse number 1 why that you and me tonight are not in hell. Because His mercy. I've not got what I deserve. I'll never get what I deserve. Why? Because His mercy endureth, how long? Forever. Thank God for that. Amen. Verse number 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gathered them out of the lands. From the east and from the west. From the north and from the south. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll try to bring the message out of these verses. Father, I pray tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we have such a great need of You tonight, both in the pulpit and in the congregation tonight. Lord, without You, we can do nothing. Lord, without You, I will say nothing. And without You, the people will hear nothing. But dear Lord, if You will somehow, of Your grace and mercy, Lord, that You would help us tonight, dear God, get us beyond ourselves. Take us out and beyond the realm of the earthly. Take us beyond the realm of the natural. Take us, Lord, into the spiritual, the supernatural, and the heavenly. Lord, to which we have access to by the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray the Word of God will come alive to us and we'll come alive to the Word. Lord, I pray You'll move in this place in mighty power. Lord, thank You for what You've done in nights past. But in fact, that is nights past. Lord, we need a fresh touch tonight. We need fresh oil. We need a fresh anointing tonight. Lord, I make myself available, God, for You to use me tonight as a vessel of honor. Lord, I pray that I'll be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Lord, I'm not here to impress or be impressed. Lord, I'm here tonight, dear God, to say, thus saith the Lord, what You laid on my heart, what You nudged my heart, what You witnessed with my heart, Lord, that You want me to preach tonight. Lord, I need the divine enablement of the Holy Ghost. Lord, preaching is a divine task and requires spiritual power from on high. Lord, the flesh cannot do, Lord, what I need done here tonight, Lord. Please help us tonight. Lord, may there be no fair show of the flesh. Lord, I pray that You will help us tonight, Lord, for the next little while. Lord, our God to be caught up into the heavenlies. Help us to see Jesus, who is altogether lovely. Stir every sinner. Bring them under Holy Ghost conviction. Put the drawing power of God on them. Draw them, Lord, from a life of sin to the cross for cleansing. Let that tonight, there'll be a host of people get saved. And then, Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, that You'll stir our hearts about being saved. Lord, that we'll be more excited tonight about being saved. Oh, God, help us tonight. Lord, as only You're able to do. And Lord, what You do for us tonight, we'll thank You and give You the praise, Lord, that You deserve. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And for our sakes, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. If you'll look with me, please, back in verse number 2, I want to direct your attention and read the verse one more time. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Of course, let the redeemed of the Lord, the term redeemed of the Lord is a term that identifies the saved. Let the saved of the Lord, let the born again of the Lord, let the children of the Lord, let those that have been purchased of the Lord do what? Say so. Now he would have done, he wouldn't have been wrong if he'd have said, let the redeemed of the Lord work. That's in the scripture. Not those words, but it's the principles there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. You ought to read it when you get home. Don't stop at verse 9. Verse 10 is also there. Amen. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. I mean, it says, it could say a lot of things, but God chose this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's something about that say so that God is interested in, and that God wants us interested in tonight. And I want to try preaching tonight, if the Lord will help me for a few minutes. That's my intention anyway. If the Lord messes that up, you'll have to blame Him for it. I want to preach on a say-so salvation. A say-so salvation tonight. Amen. In fact, the truth is, hello, that's the only salvation known and taught in the Bible. If you have a salvation that never gets said so, then it's not a Bible salvation. Amen. If you got Bible salvation, I believe you don't need a whole lot of encouragement to say so. Amen. And so let's break this down, if we could tonight, and look at a few things about this say-so salvation as presented in these verses. The first thing I want to share with you tonight that the Lord burdened my heart about, and is right here in the text. When we look at the description of this say-so salvation, the first thing I notice is, and I want to spend a little time on it, is it is an experience. Hello? The experience of the say-so salvation. I'm confident tonight a lot of people are not saying so because it's not so. You'll never say so about a not-so salvation. Amen. In other words, you're not saved. That's why you're probably not saying so. Amen. If it's not so, if it's not so, you probably are not going to say so. But if it's so, then if it's so, that means it's an experience. That means it's an experience that you've had. Amen. And so we find this found in verse number 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's a real happening. That's not a hope so. Hello, you better not trust in a hope-so salvation. You better trust in a say-so salvation. A say-so that's coming from an experience with God. Amen. A say-so salvation. It's not a hope-so, it's a happening. It's not a hope, it's a happening. It's something that is a fact in your life. It is something that is definite in your life. It really has happened to you. Amen. You're not educated into salvation. You don't grow into salvation. Amen. You can't buy your way, work your way, love your way, do your way into salvation. There's only one way to get saved, and it says so right here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeemed of the Lord. Of the Lord means He did it. You didn't do it. You can't do it. There's no means on planet Earth that can purchase one sinner salvation. Because any offering, any gift, any sacrifice that you would try to offer up to God for your salvation is tainted with sin and is imperfect. And therefore God will never, ever accept it. You realize tonight that God accepts nothing but perfection. 100% perfection. You're not that. Therefore, you cannot offer up that. You cannot produce that. Amen. Imperfect people cannot offer up perfect sacrifices. Amen. And God knew that. That's why He sent His only begotten Son as the sinless, spotless, perfect, pure Lamb of God to purchase our salvation. Amen. So that we could go to heaven off of His payment. Amen. Amen. That's right, isn't it? But it's an experience. I'm telling you, I believe it all in my heart. A lot of people are not saying so because they don't have nothing to say. They don't have anything much to say, amen? Experience is first-hand information. What could you tell me tonight? What could you tell in a testimony tonight about salvation that you know first-hand, not second-hand information, not what mama told you, not what daddy told you or the preacher told you, but what you know. Because you experienced it. Salvation is an experience. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? Amen. It's firsthand information. Salvation is an experience, not an exercise. Amen. To be redeemed is a reality. I'm not hoping to be saved. I'm not hanging on to be saved. I'm not trying to be saved. Amen. You're looking at one tonight that is S-A-V-E-D. Saved. I'm saved. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. I'm saved right now. I'm as saved right now as I will be 20 billion years from tonight. And it's an experience. Now, I went to the altar when I was young. I'm talking about me now. Amen. And I made a profession, but it didn't have any experience in it. It didn't have no experience in it. I didn't experience God in it. Amen. It was just a religious thing that I did, and therefore my life was not changed. Amen. I always wondered why I couldn't stay out of the ditch of sin. A lot of people's claiming to be backslid when they've never slid up. A lot of people claim they need to be rededicated and they've never been dedicated the first time. Amen. January 20th, 1981 at the age of 20. I'm going to tell you now, if you'd asked me through my teenage years, are you saved? I'd have said, yes, I'm saved. But was I living like a saved man? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, wicked and ungodly. But I would have told you I was saved. What was I basing that on? Little flimsy dime store profession that I made back when I was little. Didn't change my life. Didn't cause me to hate sin. Didn't cause me to love righteousness. At the age of 20, God worked in my heart on the second night of a 7-week revival, and I got God showed me that I had religion, I had a baptismal certificate, I had a godly heritage, a godly mom, dad, grandparents, so on and so forth. I want to tell you what I did not have. I did not have God in my heart. I had Him in my head. I knew a few things about Him, a few things about the Bible, but I didn't know anything about God first hand. Information. Are you listening, preacher, tonight? How many are holding on to a profession that did not and have not any experience of God in it? Are you listening? Yes, sir, buddy. Conviction. What can you tell me about conviction? Now that's an old school friend right here. More important, it's Bible. It's not just old fashioned, it's Bible. What can you tell me tonight about conviction? And if you've ever been under conviction, I promise you, you know that is an experience. A miserable experience. I hated it. Oh my soul. I've never heard anybody talk about conviction in a good way. When God, the Holy Ghost, gets on your case and begins to take the light of God's law and show you that you're condemned and show you are a sinner before God, and there's nothing you can do humanly, nothing you can do financially, nothing you can do physically to get out from under the condemnation of God. Condemned, in trouble, and you're under conviction. Brother, I want to tell you, conviction has effects differently on different people. I've heard many times people talk about I couldn't sleep. I've heard about people talking about the misery. Lord, help us. I testify to that. The misery of conviction. Have you ever been under conviction? Conviction spiritually is much the same as conviction in the judicial system. It's when you've been convicted. It's when you've been, all the evidence has come in on you. And the case has been tried. And and you're found out guilty. There's no disputing it. There's no questioning it. There's no need to ask the judge for nothing. Amen. Your case has been tried. And you have been found guilty. And the Holy Spirit of God is putting you under conviction and show you you are a transgressor of the law. Have you ever been under conviction? I'm telling you upon the authority of that Bible, if you've never been under conviction, you have never been converted. Now that's a bold statement right there. But listen, listen. Now you're looking at one preacher. I don't know how all these others are, but you're looking at one preacher, friend, that detests with everything that's in me this Hollywood evangelism that's going on today. I've been door to door with them, friend. I know firsthand. I know firsthand, friend, how they can smooth talk and lead them into a little repeat after me and nod your head if you agree with some Bible facts. There never has been a time, Brother Joe, there never has been a time in my conscious memory that I disbelieved in the virgin birth and the sinlessness of Christ and Calvary and the cross and the resurrection. But they'll throw a few Bible questions at you. Do you believe Jesus loved you? You believe Jesus died for you? You believe He's rose in it? Well, I believed all that before I ever got saved. I watched one of them silver-tongued Hollywood evangelists. I watched them firsthand. I didn't cause a scene there on the porch. I wanted to. But I didn't. I waited till we got out on the sidewalk. And I said, what you done right there on that doorstep, if we could duplicate what you did on that doorstep, we could go through Rogersville and win absolutely every single person in Rogersville to Jesus. Nothing about conviction. Nothing about the Holy Ghost. Last time I read John chapter 3, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to produce a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. The flesh can't produce anything but flesh. The flesh can never produce spiritual things. Never. Never. Amen. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost to birth you into the family of God. And listen, just like the physical birth is an experience. Would anybody want to deny that tonight? Would anybody in here want to look that bad to stand up and say the physical birth is not an experience? It really didn't happen to me. I better watch out throwing it open to the congregation. There might be somebody here think they come from Mars or something. Amen. Or that they was here once upon a time and it was a horse fly before or something. Your physical birth, my friend, was a real experience. And so it is. The spiritual birth is a real experience. Your physical birth, when you're born physically, you're born out of a world and into another world. And that birth is so final that you can never pass, as Nicodemus asked the question, you can never pass back through the birth canal back into the world from which you were born. In fact, it would kill you if you try to go back to that previous world. So it is in the spiritual realm. Listen, the Bible said you must be born again. That's not a figure of speech. That is a real definition of salvation. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that salvation, this say-so salvation, is an experience. I'm afraid we're trying to get a lot of people revived that have never been regenerated. Regenerated means to be made alive. I believe we're trying to get people stirred up with our singing and our testifying and our promotions and our activities that have never been saved. And you can push and pull and pump and pay those to try to get them stirred up. If they're not saved, they'll not be stirred up about spiritual things. Conviction is an experience. Conversion is an experience. Being cleansed from sin is an experience. Amen. How many times have you heard the testimony that I felt the burden of sin roll away? I felt the guilt of sin roll away. I felt clean, preacher. I felt clean. Oh, yes. It's not just a judicial cleansing. I'm telling you, God does something in you, and you that sin is washed away. Amen. Well, the change that comes about is an experience. No change, no conversion. If you're still the same, then you're still the same. Amen. Are you different? Do you talk different? Do you act different? I mean, listen, I know people right now. They don't know I know, but I know. Family members have told me. They claim to be saved and cuss like a sailor at the house. I wouldn't trust that, everybody listening. I wouldn't trust that to take me to Walmart, much less to heaven. People claim to be saved and still hooked on drugs, still drinking alcohol, still committing adultery and fornication. Hey, man. Hello. Hey, listen. I know you don't have them down here. We've got them in Rogersville. They're all in Tennessee. They're all in Tennessee. Knock on their door, and they'll tell you right now, I ain't been to church in years. Standing there with a beer can in their hand, shacked up, living in sin, on dope and crack and everything else. But they'll tell you they're saved and going to heaven. I said, do you know what Matthew 1:23 says? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. What have you been saved from? If you're still in it, you've never been saved from it. Are you listening? I'm just preaching what God told me to preach. Amen. That's right. Listen. Amen. And all that goes with it. Now listen, salvation is portrayed and pictured and illustrated through the Gospels as a dead man being raised alive, as a blind man being made to see, as a leper being made clean, and on. I want to ask you something. Is that not an experience? Those that Jesus raised from the dead, was that not an experience? Was that first-hand information? The blind that was made to see, was that first-hand information? Did they know that by experience? That wasn't hearsay. That wasn't what somebody said to repeat. No, it happened to them. It happened to them. Could they deny it? Could Lazarus deny being raised from the dead? Could the widow of Nain's son, could he deny being raised from the dead? Could the leper deny being cleansed? No, it's an experience, friend. It's an experience. Salvation is an experience. Salvation, friend, is an event. Let me mention that. That's not point two. That's just part of point one. Salvation is an event that took place in your life.
Amen.
Now, an event included you. An experience involved you. And I'm amazed how many people that could give me details about certain events in your life. They can give me details about certain events in their life. Maybe it was a special place that they took a vacation to. Maybe it was a special person they met somewhere. You know, some big name, somebody. Some event. How many details could you give me about salvation? I'd hate to know that I knew more about an event and a vacation or a person I met than I did about Jesus and His salvation. Amen. Salvation, friend, it involves details. Amen. Let me ask you something. How many in this building tonight could give me details about your first birth? Now, I know that's a question you'll have to study on. How many in this building tonight know the day, the month, and the year that you were born physically? Would you raise your hand? I'm blown away. I only expected three hands. No. Can you tell me details about your second birth? Everything, Brother Rochester, everything I know about my first birth, everything I know about my first birth, somebody else told me. Far as I know, you know, my mom was Effie Mae Rackley, my daddy was Don Rackley. I was born January the 1st, 1961. Transylvania County in Brevard, North Carolina. But all that's secondhand information. Are you listening? I know if you figured that up, that makes me 52 years old, and I don't believe it. But listen, but my second birth, January 20th, 1981, at the age of 20, drew under a Holy Ghost conviction by the Spirit of God to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and faith. Nobody knew what was going on in my life because everybody thought, oh yeah, that's Barry. I didn't even have nobody pray with me. I was raised in that church. Grandpa built the church. A lot of my family was in that church. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost sat down on me about the fifth row back on this side on that second night of a 7-week revival and drew me to an old-fashioned altar. I'm telling you, drew me. No man could come except the Father which sent me. Draw him. We need that old-fashioned drawing of the Holy Ghost of God. We need a revival. We need a return of the drawing power, the pulling power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I bowed in that altar that night. Nobody prayed with me, and I'm not against that. Nobody read me no verses. I'm not against that. I'm telling you, God done a work in my heart, and I done a work. I done business with God about sin and salvation, and I got up from that altar a new creature in Christ. I went down a rebellious son, but I come up a redeemed son. I went down a heartbreak and a heartache to my mom and dad. I ran away from home over the issue of going to church. My daddy said, as long as you live in this house, eat my food, sleep in my bed, wear my clothes, we're going to church. Hello, thank God for a mom and dad that's like that. Amen. Don't give your children the option. Do you want to go today, child? Had you rather go to the playground and swing or go to church? What do you think? Would you like to go to that Bible-thumping church with that fire-breathing preacher? Or would you rather go down to the activity center? Duh. What do you think? course they're going to choose a Baal over the Savior. Are you listening? Daddy said you're going to church or else. And I'd met the or else part before. I'd been introduced to that. Amen. My daddy was very patriotic. I'm telling you, he furnished the stripes and I saw the stars and turned blue. But I thought, you know what? I said it in my heart. I didn't say it outwardly or I wouldn't have been able to get up or talk. But I thought in my heart, oh big boy, I'm going to show you. You're not controlling me. So as soon as mom and daddy got in the car and left, I got all of my clothes, throwed them in my big time four-wheel drive, jacked up, big tired four-wheel drive Toyota truck. With a big four-cylinder in it. Whee! Down the road I went, living from pillar to post, didn't even leave a message for mom, didn't leave a letter, didn't tell them where I was gone, that I was gone or nothing. Wore poor old mom and daddy to death. Of course, ain't nobody like mom. No telling how many nights she laid awake and wet her pillow weeping over me. Hey, I'm done, man. I'm done graduated now. I know what some adults say, well, he's an adult. Some parents say, well, is he 19 or he's 20? Hey, let him make his own bed. Let him make his own mind up. Mom and dad didn't believe that. Hey, man. Hey, if you're not ready to cleave, you're not ready to leave. But I'm 19. It's time for me to have my own pad. No, you still need a whipping every once in a while. My daddy believed that anyway. My sister never got any, but now he wore us out. And I was gone a long time. Are you listening? I'm talking about a rebellious son. Heartache, heartbreak, headed for hell. Are you listening? And physically headed for jail. Would have been there if I'd have got caught. I want to tell you what's the truth. Thank God I had a praying mom. Hey, don't quit praying for your children. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how bleak it looks, no matter how hopeless it looks, harder you pray, the further they go, you keep praying. Your prayers will catch up with them one day. I want to tell you, mom prayed over me. Mom prayed for me, prayed for me, prayed for me. Mom put legs on her prayers. I was a welder at Bear Sheet Metal in Hendersonville. Wasn't supposed to get phone calls. Got a phone call one day. And I thought, well, uh-oh, this must be an emergency. I'm not supposed to get phone calls, and I've got a phone call. So I took all my welding equipment off and everything and went and got the phone on the other end of the phone. And I said, hello. All I heard was, I didn't have to say, who is this? I knew who that weeping individual was on the other end. It was that precious mom that went down through the jaws of death to bring me into this world and loved me and prayed for me. Oh yes, and would not give up on me. And mom said to me when she finally got her composure, she said to me, and she's in heaven now, dad's in heaven now, probably leaning over the battlements of heaven saying, preach, son, preach, preach, son. Amen. Mom said to me, she said, son, I'm talking about, brother, you talking about tearing me up. She said, son, I did not bring you through my womb into this world for you to die and go to hell. I've done found out where you were staying, and I've done went and got all your things, and I brought them to the house. Son, when you get off work, come on home, son. I tried to act big and bad, and mom, what'd you do that for? But I was glad. I was tired of eating out of a poke. Amen. I was tired of eating happy meals when I wasn't happy. Amen. I was tired of it, friend. I was tired of it. I went home, and it wasn't but just a few days till that revival started. It wasn't but just a few days till that revival started. Hey, on the second night, I got saved by the grace of God. Never was a heartache to mom and dad again. They never had to worry about where I was at. Hey, they didn't have to ever worry about that again. Why? Jesus made a difference in me. Jesus saved me. Thank God for the experience of the grace of God. It's an experience. Do you have an experience of grace? Do you have an experience of salvation tonight? Amen. Help us, Lord. Amen. Redeemed. It's an experience. I'm going to skip down to Alpha here. Let me give you this one thing, and I'm going to go to point two. I only got three tonight. We'll be out till midnight. Listen. Whom he hath redeemed. That word redeemed, of course you can tell by the spelling of it, the way it's worded, it ends with E-D. But that word redeemed is in the perfect mood, which expresses a completed action. I like that. Hey, this say-so salvation, friend, is an experience. Thank God, it's a completed experience. Positionally, it's a completed experience, but practically, God's still working on it. Number two, this say-so salvation is not only an experience, but it involves an expression. Let the redeemed of the Lord, say so. Now look at this real quick. This say-so salvation, number one, it's an experience. I mean, it's an experiential expression. Now I know that goes back and ties into our first thought. The expression comes out of the experience. No experience, no expression. If you're not telling it, you don't have nothing to tell. And let me give you one of my old sayings. If you have a salvation that never gets told, you have a salvation that's not worth telling. And you can write that down and say, Preacher Radcliffe said it. You know what I said last night, don't you? About being backward? Some of you are not backward. You're not shy and bashful. You backslid. Amen. Oh, preacher, you judge. Okay, well, let me just see if I am. If I give you $1 million tonight, and I won't, because I can't, but if I could, there we go. Brother Buddy, if I give you $1 million tonight, I wonder how long it would take for the evidence to start showing up in your life of that $1 million. I wonder how long it would take, Brother Buddy, for you to tell it. There would be a verbal declaration of what I'd give him, and there will be a visible demonstration that he had been given $1 million. I want to tell you, God has given you much more than $1 million. $1 million could be stolen. $1 million, my friend, could go down the tubes by tomorrow. Are you listening? But oh, listen, God has given us eternal life. But I want to tell you, friend, you'll talk about it if it's big to you. You'll talk about it. You'll be excited about what's big to you. This say-so salvation is an experience, but it also involves an expression. How long's it been since you told somebody about your salvation? You go on. I got a lot of things to cover on this one. Experiential expression. Amen? And I believe sin and silence goes together in the Bible. I believe when we get quiet, sin's in the picture. Listen now, does anybody notice how quiet it's in here? Amen. Maybe you're not telling about salvation because you're too busy talking about everything else. Oh. Maybe you're too busy talking about everything else. Amen. That's right. God help us. Say so salvation is an experience. It's an expression. It's an experiential expression. Number two, it's an exhibited expression. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It says that it's going to be revealed in your life. If you're redeemed, it's going to be revealed. It's going to be noticed. It's going to be visible. It's not just verbal. It's going to be visible. You'll be saying so with action as well as announcement. You'll be saying so with life as well as your lips. You'll be saying so visibly as well as verbally. Maybe that's the reason, hello. Maybe that's the reason some of you maybe are not telling it verbally, is because there nobody that's listening to you can see anything. Yeah. By the way, let me just help you with something. If they don't see it, then you don't say it. Amen. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. That went right over your head. If those around you can't see it, then you don't say it. You're doing harm and damage to the cause of Christ when you tell others that you are saved when they do not see any evidence of it. I want to tell you, keep your mouth shut. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. You should have shouted Monday and Tuesday. Amen? What happened to old-time practical Christianity? What happened to that? Amen? What happened to that? I said this at our church the other Sunday. If Jesus were to have lived His life when He was on earth, Brother Buddy, if He had lived His life, if He had addressed and acted like this modern-day Christianity does, nobody would have ever known who He was. Well, preacher, it really don't matter about the outside. You don't want me to get on that. Well, preacher, it's just, you know, it's all spirit and it don't matter about the outside. Well, after all, have you not read that verse, preacher, that God looks on the heart? Yeah, but the rest of that verse talks about man looking on the outward appearance. Man can't see your spirit. Man can't see your heart. They have to, what they see is outward. That's why you need to let what's on the inside transform you to the outside and show sinners that you have been saved by the grace of God.